is Tom, Jake, and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Ross.
So we just played week 11, right?
Yeah.
We just played that. Mm-hmm. I always get, because of bye weeks.
I know.
I always get mixed up because, like, wait, have we had a bye? Should we have played 10 games, 11 games? And you look at the standings, you're a half game back. I always get mixed up. And I'm not good with math to begin with.
Well, now I'm questioning myself.
But you're good with math.
No,
you?
I'm not.
You're not?
No. I copied all of my math homework in high school.
God, you were a little cheater, aren't you?
Yeah. Yes. And you know what? Got me to college.
In my case.
So take that. I got good grades in college that were genuinely
well,
mine.
Well, if you're a good enough cheater, you had enough practice, evidently. It's week 11, and it feels like the playoff picture, in some way, is already set.
Yes, I feel the same way.
Right, not the order, necessarily.
Mm-hmm. The teams.
In the seeding, but the teams. If you look at the first six teams, right now Seattle is at number 5, Minnesota at number 6, but just a half game separating those two. Because
yes.
The Vikings have yet to have their bye week. They're 8-3. Seahawks 8-2. Mm-hmm. And then after that, the Rams got a win last night. Had the Rams not won last night, they'd be 5-5 and like way behind everybody.
Right. They would essentially be out of it, right?
Yeah, but so is everybody else. When they do the, you watch ESPN or NFL Network, they have that column of teams in the hunt. All of those teams are so far behind. It's going to take a miracle and probably a disaster.
It would take for Seattle to fall out of it. We were talking about it during the break. Here's how I felt about it was through 10 games, I feel like I know this team's ceiling and their floor. And the only thing to me that would knock them out of at least a wild card is a major injury.
To a key player.
Yeah. It would have to be.
Yeah. I would agree with you on that. It's almost to the point where they are pretty firmly in the wild card situation. Like you said, Stacey, it would have to take a tremendous collapse for them to not make it at this point. The only room at this point in terms of when you talk about it being set is Dallas and Philadelphia still isn't set. They still got, I mean, there's so much parity in that division always in the NFC East, but Dallas and Philadelphia are still jockeying for a position for the division. And then outside of that, unless the Rams start to play extremely better and the Seahawks play worse, then I don't see how else it's going to be. So you're really looking at Dallas or Philadelphia, Minnesota, Seattle, Saints, Green Bay, 49ers.
Yeah, Minnesota and Green Bay are kind of in the same situation that Seattle and San Francisco are because mm-hmm. they're so close in the standings right now. That could flip-flop. I mean, Green Bay could be the sixth seed by next week, right?
Correct.
If Minnesota wins again and they lose, or because I'm not sure what the head-to-head is between those teams, but mm-hmm. you get the point. Mm-hmm. They're so close that could actually happen. Now, what we were talking about with Salk before is interesting because come week 17, we were talking about whether or not that game with San Francisco could matter. Who knows? The seeding could be wrapped up by then. We don't know. But if it came down to both of those teams, let's say they had the same record going into week 17.
Mm-hmm.
If they're playing
never mind.
Right.
You're right.
Or
I was going to say, but that second game matters, but that's exactly the game we're talking about.
Right, week 17.
Yeah.
If you're playing for a number one seed versus a number five, like the winner gets the home field throughout and the loser gets the number five seed, and the loser has to play an extra week, and the loser has to play on the road the whole way. And,
and
essentially, by the way, if that loser won the first two playoff games, they'd have to go to that winner's stadium
right.
for the NFC Championship. I mean, there's so much that could be on the line for week 17. I can't wait for that right
See,
now.
See, that's my – this sounds bad, but my ideal playoff situation, and here's the thing, for my ideal playoff situation to happen, the Seahawks would already be a lock for at least a wild card. It would be heartbreaking if you lost, but it would be that kind of game like the Chiefs had with the Chargers, where it's either it's for first or it's for a wild card.
Right.
And I'm sure there are Seahawks fans that would love to deal the 49ers a wild card spot with a win over them and then take the NFC West title in the final game.
Oh, you know some? Yeah, yeah. You might be sitting right next to one. Yeah, that would be awesome to be able to have that. If all that on the line for the last week, that'd be incredible. I think that would be amazing. But it also goes to the importance of trying to get to the trying to win the division and possibly get a first round bye would be so vital, especially in this conference, in the NFC. If you're in the AFC and you have to be a wild card team and you have to go on the road, it's not as daunting of a task because you look at those teams, just from top to bottom, they're just not as good as the NFC. The NFC is significantly stronger.
You're talking about places like Green Bay or New Orleans or where else?
Yeah, Green Bay, New Orleans. You're talking about Minnesota potentially. I mean,
right.
San Francisco. I mean, San Francisco doesn't scare me, but home field advantage in the playoffs is significant, more than it is in the regular season. And so you just look at the numbers, and it's crazy. So that part of it would be vital for the Seahawks to be able to win the division or get a first round.
Well, let's talk about that real quick, because to this point, they're a much better road team than they are a home team.
That's true.
Isn't that interesting?
Now let's ask this crazy question. And I know on the text.
I get too crazy.
710, powered
weird.
By Coors Light. Everybody's going to hit me and call me an idiot. But I'm just going to throw it out there and you guys can think about it. If this team goes undefeated on the road, but has a questionable home record, would you rather play on the road and play an extra game as a wild card?
No.
Analytics, Stacey,
stop.
Stats.
Hold on. I want everybody to just pause for 3 seconds. Don't answer the question.
Okay.
Just think about it.
Okay.
One, two, three, go.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the answer would be no. And a big reason why is I do think that although this team has been special on the road, they've been able to get it done. The playoffs, it just, like I said, it just heightens to another level. And when you have CenturyLink Field, I know what the record says, but this place is special, and it does give you an advantage. When this place is rocking during the playoffs, and also your defense is starting to get better, and hopefully that's the case, we can say that by the time we get to the playoffs, that we feel confident in this defense, you want that home field advantage, and you want as least amount of games as possible as you're trying to make a run to the Super Bowl.
It's an interesting question, Tom. Because
you don't have to say that.
No. I mean it. It's an interesting question because it brings into the question what goes into winning a game besides just physically what you do on a football field. And Pete Carroll completely believes in that. Pete Carroll believes that mentality and, I don't know, everything else that goes into that, teamwork, all those intangible things make a difference in the final score and make a difference in your performance. So it's fair to question if a team is undefeated on the road, is there a kind of mentality you have on the road that might be different, which is probably why Pete Carroll preaches same mm-hmm. mentality every week so that you don't have to worry about that. I think no matter what, a home game is better, but I think it's an interesting question for that reason.
And I hope I'm quoting the right person, but I believe it's Dave Wyman who's talked a bunch of times on the huddle with us about how when you go on the road, he used to love going on the road.
Yeah.
The reason being, you're all together. You're all on the trip. Like, there's a sense of togetherness and bonding and focus that goes with going on the road. I mean, you know that.
I definitely agree with that. I love that idea of going on the road and it's us against the world. You feel like in that moment, it's our guys. It's only us in this stadium amongst everybody else that wants to see us fail. And also the fun part about that is trying to take over someone else's stadium. And I think that's, when you talk about a mentality, that, yeah, sometimes you do have a different mindset, a different mentality when you go on the road versus when you play at home. So I understand that, and I get that. And they've obviously, the Seahawks, have done an amazing job with their mentality, their approach, the way that they've gone about their road games. It's been successful for them. So would I be nervous about them having to play on the road? Yes. Would I feel confident about their ability to win on the road? Absolutely, because they've been there, done that, and that is huge when it comes down to it. So is my preference to play at home? No doubt. Would I be scared for them to play on the road? No, because they've shown all year that they can be successful on the road. It's just harder.
Looking at the text line, do you want to hear kind of the general response?
Okay.
The general response is that people would love to play at home over the two of them, but some interesting points. The 253 says, we're four dumb turnovers away from 10-0. I'm not worried about us at home. Other people from the 425, they question basically, I might be putting words in your mouth, but that if Russell Wilson, they say, plays poorly in cold weather, maybe they're worried about who you're facing versus just the seeding or playing at home. So they're saying if Minnesota's in there as a 6 wild card, maybe I'd rather just be whatever spot has to play in Dallas whatever spot.
Are we concerned about Russell Wilson in cold weather?
I think, that's what this person is saying.
Okay.
But I think what they're saying overall is I care more about what team they're facing versus just whether they play at home or on the road.
The matchups, right, because...
Yeah, 425, I hope that's what you were saying.
Well, the reasons why they've won on the road, they may not have anything to do with being on the road. It may have to do with that very thing, just the teams that they've matched up against, right? It could just be that they're good against Atlanta or whoever else that they've beaten on the road, or San Francisco.
Or divisional opponent, exactly. Yeah. You might be better against them.
Yeah, right now, by the way, we've stumbled into four down territory. Let's go.
This is four down territory.
With Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
We live for moments like this. Time for us to step up and take it.
All right, Jake. Russell Wilson versus Lamar Jackson for the MVP. What's it going to come down to for Russell to win that battle?
I really do believe this is still about Russell Wilson. Lamar Jackson... it came out today that Vegas had Lamar Jackson in the lead in terms of MVP odds. And part of that is the difficult schedule that the Seahawks have down the stretch. And if Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks can take care of business and have good performances down the stretch, they win the division, I think that all factors into it. And also, you have to point to his last two opportunities to play in primetime versus the Minnesota Vikings on Monday night and the Los Angeles Rams in their building on Sunday Night Football. Those are going to be two pivotal opportunities for Russell Wilson to be able to stake his claim on the MVP race. When you look at Russell's numbers, what he's done, and everybody knows that Russell has played a significant factor in the Seahawks 8-2 record, as Lamar Jackson has had a very, very good collective team around him. So Russell's going to have to put that on display in this second half of the season and on those two primetime games especially. And I think that will get it done for him.
Second down. Who was I? Which official was I watching last night? Was it Bill Vinovich? I was trying to get a handle over his accent to see if I could do it for this segment, but
it really didn't work out for you.
He didn't really have an accent.
Oh,
it wasn't much fun.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll try again.
You should try out just different. Maybe you're Australian tomorrow. I don't know.
Second down.
Oh, that wasn't bad, Tom.
It's more South African. Anywho, Stacey.
Tom.
Pete Carroll says the Seahawks have been a resilient team. What do their stats say, though?
Thank you for reading the emphasis on the word stats.
It was in italics.
I know. I think their stats back it up, to be honest. You look at this team. So Russell Wilson has already tied his career high with fourth quarter comebacks. That's obviously not through the season. And, you know, knock on wood that you get a win. But I think they'll probably do the same again. Just they've been playing close games. They won their last two contests in overtime. And... they also have the lowest point differential of all these NFC teams that we've been talking about. They have a plus 21 versus, I think, the next closest, I think, is the Vikings at plus 45. So, yeah, you've been playing close and you've been, you know, getting into some sticky situations and heading into overtime, but you're still 8-2. And so there's something to be said for that. I have a hard time figuring out how much a mentality plays into it, but I think Pete Carroll is right in saying that there's something intangible about this team, whether it's how they play together, whether it's a belief or theme they have this year that has pulled them through to some of those wins.
Sometimes I wonder about players like Shaq Griffin and Trey Flowers and how they would respond to adversity if Pete Carroll wasn't their coach, if they were coached by somebody else, right? If he's part of the reason.
Or think of Jason Myers, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Perfect example. Absolutely. Third down. How does Seahawks safety Quandre Diggs make the defense better?
I think the thing that jumps off the page is obviously when you watch him, the physicality that he brings in the run game and on the back end, hitting receivers, tight ends, and being a force back there and making quarterbacks and receivers and skill players second guess whether or not they want to go over the middle. But in coverage, what Quandre Diggs does is he understands where weaknesses are with particular players or with, hey, the offense is trying to attack us to this side of the field, and I'm going to lean a little bit more to that side of the field. I'm going to help on this side of the field. He's just a little savvier and understands the game better, whereas you've watched the past year and a half, really, of safety play and Tedrick Thompson and other guys that they've tried back there. They just play the middle of the field, and in their coverage, they do their job, and they're not very reactive or instinctive. Instead, Quandre Diggs is actually shrinking holes in the zone because he's recognizing what offenses are trying to do, how they want to attack, and who may be the weak link on the defense at different times. And so he's done a great job in one game of just showing offensive coordinators and quarterbacks that, hey, if you're going to throw the ball in the middle of the field or down the field, you better be on it because Quandre Diggs is going to make that window smaller.
By the way, I saw a tweet this morning from Michael David Smith of Pro Football Talk on Quandre Diggs. It's quarterback stats against the Lions since he's left or since he was traded.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones, Derek Carr, Mitch Trubisky, Dak Prescott. They're all these crazy numbers and no picks. Not one of them has thrown a pick, right?
Huh. Wow.
All these crazy touchdown numbers. And I read it. I read through it two or three times. I thought, well, yeah. Like, did you think the Lions were going to get better by dealing a key piece of their secondary away?
Yeah, that's still why it was a weird trade.
That draft pick hasn't made any interceptions?
Right.
Lately.
Weird.
I liked Kyle's laugh in the background of
yeah.
that.
He thought that was equally ridiculous. It's like, did you expect that the Lions were going to improve this year dealing away? I mean, that's insane.
Right, but fortunately for the Seahawks, the Lions were willing to deal him,
yeah.
and he's absolutely made a factor in one game, only one game, but there is obvious signs to be optimistic.
Fourth down. How important, don't laugh at me for this question, by the way.
Okay, I'll try not to.
I might.
How important is Jadeveon Clowney to the defense? That's stupid.
See, Raj couldn't keep it
in.
Obviously, we know that he's very important, but I want to rattle off some stats for you guys so that you can really see the comparison between Jadeveon Clowney being on the field and with him being off the field. With him on the field, they give up a 61% completion percentage, 6.6 yards per attempt, compared to 70% and 8.2. Sack rate percentage with him on is 5.6 compared to 2.2. Pressure rate, 26 with him, 16.9 without him. And quarterback rating is 80 with him on the field and 110 with him off the field. So he has a dramatic impact in terms of the way quarterbacks are playing when he's on the field versus off the field. He has been a major disruptor. He's been a guy that quarterbacks and offensive coordinators have definitely had to put a lot of their energy into thinking about just so that they can try and protect him, and teams have struggled to even do that. And so without Jadeveon Clowney being on this roster, we'd be in a really tough spot if this is, you're talking about the Seahawks defense. It's incredible.
I just raised my hand like I'm in class here.
Yes,
excuse
Tom.
Excuse me, I have a question, sir.
Yes, sir.
Go for it.
If he's had such a positive impact on the team, then what is it that we were complaining about those first 6 or 7 weeks with him?
Well, it's not really with him. I think it's with the defense altogether.
We were complaining about the wrong thing.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember us complaining about Jadeveon Clowney specifically.
I do.
But I think when you're talking about a defense as a whole, on the back end, in terms of your linebackers and your secondary, they were doing a very poor job in coverage, just playing way too soft, making it way too easy. If you're not going to get a pass rush, an immediate pass rush, you can't just drop back in soft zone. It's like playing 7-on-7 for a quarterback is essentially what they were doing for the majority of the season. They've changed that. They changed that approach versus the 49ers, and, man, it had a huge impact, and hopefully that's the style in which they play the rest of the way.
7-on-7. Which positions are involved in that?
That's all the skill positions. So there's no linemen.
There's no linemen at all?
There's no rush. No. It's all linebackers, secondary, and quarterbacks, receivers, tight ends, running backs.
Wait a minute.
It's a passing drill.
If you take away the two tackles, two guards in the center,
yes.
Wouldn't that leave you with six?
What do you mean?
Well, there's normally it's 11-on-11, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And you're saying if you take away this, the non-skill positions.
Yeah, so I guess
that's two tackles and two guards and a center. That's five.
Because you have so you have a random center that's snapping.
So you do have a center.
You do have a center. Yes.
Okay. The quarterback doesn't just sort of.
You were actually making me really think there for a second.
Me too. Yeah.
I was too. I was like, well, maybe you do like a three tight end.
I was like, yeah. Like, wait, does the tight end snap the ball?
Essentially, it's 6-on-7. Yes, okay. But with a random person snapping the ball to the quarterback.
Thank God. Is that how they do it in your flag football league?
Yeah. Actually, it is. It is.
Are you joking?
No, I'm dead serious.
So you guys don't have lines.
No, we don't. We don't have lines.
Can you imagine being a?
But they can rush the quarterback though. After I think was it five seconds? Yeah.
Tom, okay. Can we go to one of Jake's? I think all four of us should go to one of Jake's games and just
wait till
and
we
yell,
wait till
signs.
We get to the playoffs.
No.
Okay? Wait till
nope.
We get to the playoffs.
We're not telling you which one we're going to. What if Jake's team plays Paul's team?
Oh
we need
gosh.
To have the whole station go.
See, that's why you need to wait to the playoffs
Ooh.
To figure that out.
So wait, I'm going to make snacks.
When you're on a flag football team,
right.
Is it implied that you're going to be the quarterback?
What happens if another quarterback's on there? Do you guys kind of, what kind of fight ensues?
Well, I mean, we kind of built the team
around you.
Around the
Jake's
idea
the franchise.
That I would be
I see, all right.
Got
that's
it.
Understandable.
Got it.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so no quarterback controversies.
No controversy?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
Until Tom Wassel shows up.
Yeah,
that's true.
Exactly.
Slinging that ball around.
I've been throwing it, too. Me and Tom in the sports pit.
I could throw the old ball of rooski
yeah,
around.
The old
just don't come around, Tom, okay?
Yep.
Don't come around.
We will.
I'd throw little screen passes every single time out.
Screen passes?
That's what I'd go with, yeah. Screen passes.
Dialing them up.
I like it.
So what did you say, Jake? You count by dog? One dog? Two dogs?
That's what the refs
Isn't
do.
Is it pretty universally this, like Mississippi?
It, universally, alligator? Yes. But in this particular league, they say dog. The refs count it down. And they say that.
Yell into a mic. What?
It really threw me off the first time.
Oh, but
time.
The refs count it, which yes. makes sense. Because typically in backyard football... One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi,
Correct.
Four Mississippi.
You can't have that type of controversy.
There's Are you a, like Paul? Do you fight over a bad call?
No. I try not to. But
you do.
But there are some teams, Kyle, there are some teams that
Who
like,
shall remain
like they've read the entire rule book before they go out there, and they argue every single yeah. call. This is also a league that...
Bunch of chumps.
Yeah, it really is. But it's also a league where there's not much physical contact. Like if the guy catches the ball and you try and knock it out of his hand... That's a penalty.
Oh, Jake, someone challenged you on the text line.
Did they?
253 says, my buddies and I play flag football in Puyallup. I lived here my whole life, and I just stumbled over that word.
Ah.
Not for a league, just for fun. They'd like to challenge your team against his or her team. They're playing at a junior high there.
Okay.
So
All
just
right.
just so you know, it's throwing it out there, so failure to show up.
May or may not
forfeit.
Be reaching out to you.
Hey, did you see the Cougs won, Kyle? You go to the game?
Ooh, saw it with my own two eyes,
All right,
Tommy.
We're going to talk about that next in the Halftime Show, 710 ESPN Seattle.
It's time for the Halftime Show.
The half is not over. There's 3 seconds on the clock.
Revisiting the biggest stories of today at the midpoint of the show.
The Halftime Show, it's not easy.
Now, here's Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Well, thanks, NFL. You weren't any help. Actually, it looked like you were going to be a big help to the Seahawks. Looked like the Vikings were going to go down. They were down 20-0 at halftime. Looked like San Francisco might go down. But you know what? That game could have gone a number of ways. So I don't feel as bad about that one. In fact, Jake and I picked Arizona last week.
We did.
To beat the 49ers.
I don't remember who I picked.
You picked San Francisco.
Okay.
And you wanted me to make a note of it
yes,
on our sheet,
did.
Which I did.
Are you sure?
And then I texted you guys yesterday,
tape.
Remember?
Check the tape, Kyle. Check the tape.
Amen.
But alas, the 49ers get their win with some help from the officials. Minnesota gets their win because they just flat out earned it, and the Broncos are terrible. So those teams are right in the mix there with the Seahawks. As we said before, it looks like the playoff picture in the NFC is really come together. It's not solidified yet. It hasn't really coagulated yet. But the teams that are going to be in the playoffs are essentially there right now.
Yeah, no, I still get nervous about this.
About
why do you get nervous?
I don't know, because I'm a pessimistic person.
That's one thing that's been kind of surprising, is she is
no, I'm
inherently
not.
A pessimistic person when it comes to specifically the Seahawks.
No, I think I try to be, it's from covering the team. I try to be very rational, and I try not to look at it like any like a fan or
like
anything.
A fan.
You try to just you try to just be whatever. But then this team in particular this year is just so hard to pick your finger
every
on how
game,
they're gonna be.
Yeah, every game's been close and it's hard. And you know, you win versus the 49ers and there were so many turnovers that happened in that game, right? It just was. Even when you have this big monumental win, there's still a lot to point to and say, this wasn't clean, that wasn't right. But that's also kind of football. Football is a game that is muddy. It's a game that execution is supposed to be at its highest in order to win. And the Seahawks somehow find a way to overcome mistakes and adversity almost every game. And that is incredibly unique.
You know what? That game, that win over the 49ers, the way that that's changed the national perception of this team. Just this morning, I woke up and I was watching that show, Good Morning Football, on NFL Network. And I heard, just this is an offhand comment that one of the guys said, but he said, because the 49ers and Seahawks have been so great, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait a minute. Since when have the Seahawks been so great? I thought everybody was trashing them up to that 49er game. Now, because they won that game and the defense played out of its mind in that one game, everybody thinks they're like the class of the league.
I feel like recency bias is just the story of the NFL every week. Or the not the story of the NFL. It's the way that we all talk about these games every week. And it's hard not to, right? There's so much information to take in over 3 months that you look at the most recent example and you say, well, how much does this reflect? How impactful is this? I mean, it's the same reason. I mean, look at Lamar Jackson and Russell Wilson, the debate we were having. Well, Russell Wilson was on a bye week and Lamar Jackson was lights out.
Right.
So, yeah, the narrative changes a little bit.
Every single week. Sometimes it changes midweek.
Yeah. Yes.
If somebody's hurt or.
Right.
Or if Mitch Trubisky, like, he gets ends up getting benched for Chase Daniel. I mean.
Oh, it's absolutely.
His career ended on Wednesday.
It's absolutely true. And when you look at the way that this whole thing is being set up right now, the Seahawks can absolutely have control of that narrative. They're in, quote-unquote, in control of their own destiny the rest of the way, and they're going to have a heck of a challenge. The 49ers are going to have a heck of a challenge, and we'll see ultimately who is the better team, who is more put together, or you have a final matchup between the Seahawks and the San Francisco 49ers. It's going to be, again, it might top the earlier edition that we saw this last Monday.
Oh, don't say that. My heart can't take it. Hey, real quick, back to last Friday. With the Myles Garrett thing, had he been handed his suspension by the time we were on the air?
Yeah.
Just the rest of the season? Because it didn't...
It was indefinitely.
It came down during the morning show.
So it's presumably the rest of the season, but yeah, during the morning show it was announced he was suspended indefinitely.
Okay, because it didn't occur to me.
It said at least for the remainder of the season and postseason at that time.
Okay. On the way home, I was thinking about it. And it didn't occur to me that, like, that's only 6 games.
Right.
Well, I think that's why, like Kyle said, the assumption is that it'll be longer.
Okay.
I think.
That the assumption?
That's what I'm assuming.
That's Stacey's assumption.
Well, it's my assumption, so it's right.
It'll be interesting to see if it does actually end up following into the next year, because a lot of these situations, when you look at it, the Cleveland Browns are most likely not going to go to the playoffs, but if they did, it was indefinitely suspended, indefinitely, meaning that he would not be regular season or playoffs have the chance to play.
Right.
So now that they're not going to get those playoff games, does that go into and factor into next year? That'll be really interesting to see how.
Don't you think
the
it
NFL,
should?
I think it should.
I think it will.
It'll be interesting to see what they end up doing, though, how they handle it.
Is should the subjunctive? Is that the word I'm looking for?
No, you were asking me if I think it should or it will, and I think it was reprehensible behavior, but I always feel bad about punishing players. I'm hypocritical.
You feel bad about punishing players?
Oh, no. I don't like this question.
All right, you know
pressure.
What? I'm not going to bother you with that today. Don't worry about it. Guess who beat Stanford on Saturday night?
Woohoo!
The Washington State University Cougars beat him pretty handily.
Oh, my God, Kyle, I thought that was
five,
a soundbite. You just did that with your mouth. Oh, I don't like it at all.
Wow, that's impressive. Impressive, Kyle.
It's a cougar growl, Tom.
That's right.
Oh, I know what it is.
Cougar growl on the prowl.
Dude, I go to all their games. Okay, you just
love
don't see
Martin
me.
State.
Now, how about them winning big? And they have, actually, they put on an offensive show, right? Anthony Gordon, 44 of 60, 520 yards, 5 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. Max Borgi running for 111 yards. And then after the game, Borgie, during his press conference, says he guarantees that they're going to beat Oregon State and that they will be bowl eligible.
Joe Namath guarantees Super Bowls. Max Borgie guarantees beating the Beavs.
I loved it.
But they did. They've been putting on a show at home this year. Theo Lawson, the spokesman, shared this. In home games this year, the Cougs have scored 58, 59, 63, 41, and 49 points. That's quite a show.
Yeah. So what?
So what? Well, they don't want to play them at home.
Jake just said the offense is rolling, and that's a stat to back it up.
That's right.
And then they'll hit the road for the Apple Cup. Put up another 60.
Well, that's what I mean. Is that really that big of a deal that he guaranteed it?
It's pretty bold.
It just reminds me of any time a player guarantees something, the highlight reel of that is always when it doesn't happen, like Matt Hasselbeck.
You better follow through. If you lose to Oregon State,
then it becomes something where it plays over and over and over.
And then you've got to play Washington for your bowl game survival.
But he's not going to.
Mm.
Yeah, if the Cougs fall short of the Red Box Bowl, that is some serious egg on Max Borgie's face.
Big time. You better deliver.
If they lose to Oregon State. Yeah, obviously. But that's where the embarrassment ends there. He's not going to worry about being bowl eligible. He's not going to make another guarantee after that if he loses.
Can you imagine if he was like, I guarantee we're going to beat Oregon State, but I'm not promising anything about Washington.
But don't ask me about the
don't
next
ask me that.
No comments.
No. But definitely the Beavers.
But the Beavers, we got them.
Does the remainder of this season have any effect on what Leach ends up doing? Success, failure, the rest of the way? Or has he already made up his mind if you were to get the
He's
offer?
Already made up his mind to pursue other jobs. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But the other jobs pursue him.
So you're saying that he would.
Can you imagine a
Florida State comes around and offers him a gig that he would take it?
Yeah. Yeah, but this is also Leach's thing. He pursues other jobs every offseason, tries to get a raise, get a new contract. Mm. He did this at Texas Tech. He interviewed for the UW job. So that was a good coincidence.
Can you imagine a Bachelor-style show with Mike Leach and job offers?
Or vice versa? Can't imagine watching that. No, I think it would be too awkward.
Just think of the drama, the production value. He'd be great in front of a camera.
So he's the contestant and then all the...
Yeah, I haven't figured out how it's going to work yet. This just came to me, as many great ideas do. And it's just kind of, I'm workshopping it.
I'd love to see Mike Leach sell himself. Like
have to go out there rather than...
This is why I'm going to change
And he's
program.
Narrowing it down. And then imagine all the athletic directors and they're up there and he calls them up one by one to give them a rose.
Speaking of bad ideas.
Okay.
O.J. Simpson. Now, everybody who's heard this sound has told me that this is funny and kind of good. I'm a little surprised at that. I thought people would be like outraged by this, but they're not. I haven't heard it yet. O.J. Simpson weighing in on Russell Wilson. Goodness, we'll talk about that next. 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Rost.
Are you guys convinced that OJ did it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like 100%. Like,
say it to your face. OJ did it.
OJ did it.
Yeah, like pretty confident.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then when you see him tweeting out videos of himself just walking around doing his thing, are you like offended by that?
I don't know that I'm offended, but there's certainly a weirdness to it where I think...
Yeah.
My personal belief is that this guy killed his wife, and then there's just a video of him.
It's just on Twitter.
Just hanging out. Just talking, OJ hanging out.
Yeah, like we have a person in our country who very likely committed a double homicide that is famous for that and just sort of walks around and we're like, yeah.
And obviously he wasn't convicted, but I think that it's one of those weird things.
He was convicted for other things, but yeah.
Yeah.
It is weird. All right, well, here he is talking about the NFL MVP race.
I know. Do you guys ever feel weird about people talking about OJ? Well.
Oh, goodness. All right, here he is.
Okay,
you know,
we're
living in a patient time. Everybody wants to say who's the MVP. A couple of weeks ago, I said there was 5 guys running. Now I say it's 2.5. Lamar Jackson, I think, is leading right now. But every time I see Russell Wilson play, I say Russell Wilson is the MVP. And then Christian McCaffrey, hey, come on. The man is chasing some legendary marks for a running back. Lamar I say is the most unique quarterback I've seen. Over the years, I heard people say that Steve Young and Vic and Randall Cunningham, these guys could be running backs. Scrambling and running the ball as a running back is two different things. When you're running the ball as a running back, you got to hit a hole not knowing if it's going to open, not knowing if a Ray Lewis or Dick Butkus is going to be there, and you see Roddy Lott and Jack Tater and them running up towards you. Whole different mentality. Until I saw this guy, Lamar Jackson. Lamar could be a running back.
Oh, my goodness. First of all, I got to tell you right now, before I press play on that bite, I completely forgot that he was even a football player. That he had...
Wait, what?
I'm serious. That he has...
OJ?
Yes, that he has cause to be analyzing this topic.
Well, that's part of the intrigue of it, is you don't view OJ through that prism.
Right.
Now, he's an NFL analyst, and he could give you credible analysis.
I thought it was just OJ Simpson, the person
the killer
that we know, just weighing in as a fan. I forgot that he's somebody
and
who's
isn't
actually
it weird?
Credible on this issue.
That's the thing. Isn't it weird to know what his career was and how great he was, and then that still overshadowed it?
I felt like he even referenced his great career. But Christian McCaffrey's chasing some legends
in this game.
He's chasing me.
And he's talking about the guys that he went up against, and Jack Tatum and Dick Butkus and whoever else.
Wrong
Plus,
lot.
I mean, he was an NFL analyst with NBC for all those years. You forget that, too.
It's crazy. But the interesting part is, I think the one thing that I take away from it is, I mean, Lamar Jackson, what he's been able to do and how he runs the football is so dynamic and so electrifying that you watch this guy and, yeah, it reminds you of Michael Vick. But I also think that he's better than what Michael Vick was in terms of some of the runs that he makes, and he's not having to do it from a scramble every time, that he's actually doing this out of quarterback runs, design quarterback runs. I mean, pretty impressive. And
what's the difference on that, design quarterback runs versus what Vic did?
I mean, they're still
I can't see the difference.
They're very impressive, but the difference is that when Michael Vick, the majority of the time when he tucked the ball, and Lamar does this too, is it's in a drop back situation, so there's more space around you, and also the defenders, the linebackers, the secondary, they are dropping back into coverage. So by the time you're breaking through the defensive line, you're in space. You're having to take on, you're usually taking on a linebacker or a safety in space, one-on-one. But when it's a design quarterback run, you're having to run through legitimate running lanes that are condensed, that aren't easy to see all the time. He has incredible vision and toughness to break through a lot of those arm tackles. There's a bunch of bodies that are in the box trying to stop him. So that's kind of the difference between the two. Lamar does both of it. I mean, I'm sure Michael Vick could have done both, but at that time, they didn't really use the quarterback in that way. But when you watch Russell Wilson, you go, wow, yeah, that guy's pretty special too. And what he's doing with the ball in his hands is pretty elite. And when you watch elite quarterbacks do their thing, I mean, it's honestly incredible to see how he's operating. He's operating as one of the best in the league right now, if not the best. And it really... You watch those two guys and it's polarizing. And I think going to your point, mm-hmm. recency bias, Russell doesn't play, Lamar does, has an incredible day, and now he becomes the front runner.
Yeah, I actually think what Howdy tweeted, is Howdy still in there? What he tweeted, yes, thumbs up, earlier today was interesting, and it made me think that any argument you can use to support, this isn't to take away from Lamar Jackson's season, because to me it is neck and neck. Lamar Jackson is making a very valid case for MVP. But you can't make any argument about Lamar or Deshaun Watson or Christian McCaffrey without that same argument working for Russell Wilson, which for Howdy, he was basically like, look, you've seen, you know, Russell Wilson do a lot of this before, and he never really got serious recognition for it or was part of a serious conversation about MVP until, what was the year, 2017, that he was kind of involved in there. But, I mean, anything you can say about, like, a bad offensive line, having to support the defense, having to fill in for a run game, Russell Wilson has dealt with all of that. He's also dealt with, like, a great defense, but that was earlier in his career.
You know
what? The first couple years.
I wonder if – I think I have a reason as to why – Russell never got consideration for back then for the reasons that those guys are getting consideration now. Let's talk about that around the corner. 710 ESPN Seattle.